The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.
Hello and welcome to The Netball Show with Flyhawk. I'm Sasha Shipway. On this episode, Claire Ferguson joins me to chat about the Aussie Diamond selection. Ferguson won titles with the Queensland Firebirds in 2011, 2015 and 2016 and is assistant coach at the club. Not only that, but she captained the Diamonds when they won the 2016 Quad Series and Constellation Cup. And we are so lucky to be able to speak to her as she worked in the Diamonds coaching staff, placing her pretty well to analyse the squad announcement recently made.
I think in terms of the selectors' decision to have a big squad, we're fortunate that we've got depth in Australian netball at the moment. And given that there's not a wealth of competition leading into sort of the next Comm Games and the next World Cup based on COVID, I don't think it's a bad thing to have a big squad. I think what they've been able to do is select some combinations. We've got some new athletes that have, debuted in that squad. So there's sort of, I think, having that ability to trial things out and see what different athletes are capable of doing at that highest diamond standard. The SSN is an amazing competition, and so they've been able to view them week in, week out there. But it's about seeing how that transfers into the diamonds environment with the different combinations that they have there. So I think the size of the squad for me is not an issue because, you're just giving more people an opportunity and more people a chance to show what they've got.
Starting from the shooting end, we've got Caitlin Bassett named in the squad. So what do you make of her inclusion, considering, everything that's been going on and the fact that she was playing in the ANZ this season?
Yeah, I think when Seabass made the decision to head over to New Zealand for their domestic competition, I think she had the discussion with the Diamond selection panel and Stacey Marinkovic before she went as to whether it would be detrimental for her chances of selection back into the Diamonds, of which they indicated that it wouldn't. And I think what it allowed Seabass to do, and for those people who follow her on social media or who keep up with the ANZ Champs competition, it really just allowed her, I think, to reset her netball journey and have a few additional challenges in terms of new horizons and new challenges that she needed to face. And that then really allowed her to just relax and enjoy her netball. And I think we really saw her flourish as a result of that. And I mean, she was awarded the Waikato Bay of Plenty Magic's Players Player at their recent awards dinner, and she played fairly consistently throughout the year, and she had some good matches against some of the key Silver Ferns opponents that she could potentially face if she's selected in the actual Diamonds 12 heading into the Constellation Cup. So I think that she did enough for her to warrant that selection back into the squad again.
The whole shooting and, every single component of the entire 21 that's named is just full of so much talent. So for me, I'm looking at it and thinking, how on earth do you whittle this down? But do you think that Bassett will be favoured moving forward when you consider the other shooters? So you've got Cara Conan, Steph Wood, Sophie Garbin, Gretel Boetta and Kira Austin, although we know she's obviously rehabbing from her ACL injury.
Yeah, I have no idea what the vision is in terms of what Stacey is looking for with the game plan for the goalers moving forward. And I suppose it will depend on what happens in their training camps and how they look leading into the Constellation Cup as how she wants to play the game. We know that when she has players like Cara Conan, Steph and Gretel in the team, they provide this beautiful movement in the circle. But then Sophie and Gretz also have the ability to give her that holding shooter moment or that holding, goaler moment. So it's whether or not they need the height that Seabass possesses and whether that's a strength and a change up that they're looking for that gives them direct contrast to the moving circle. So I think it'll come down to combinations, and then it'll come down to a vision of a game plan for the team and what Stacey's hoping to achieve. And no one really knows that except for her. So I think I'll be interested just as much as everybody else will be to see whether Seabass is included in the 12. And obviously she's got the talent, she's got the experience, and she has the leadership abilities. But how that favours in terms of what they're looking for, yeah, your guess is as good as mine, unfortunately, Sasha.
No, that's really insightful. And moving now to the midcourt, it looks so, so strong. You've got Ash Brazel, Paige Hadley, Maddie Proud, Jess Anstis, Verity Charles, Jamie Lee Price, Kate Maloney and Liz Watson all named. And while it seems like there's a high proportion of mid-quarters, I think many were surprised about the exclusion of Kimmy Rav and Maddie Brown. So what are your thoughts on that? Is it just a combination, a performance thing, or what do you think it is?
Like that mid-court is just the most hotly contested area of the court, I think. Like, you nailed it when you said that there's so much depth in that section. And I think Kelsey and Rav missing out was extremely disappointed. I know in Firebirds Land, we were really disappointed for Rav with her exclusion from the group. But I think that they've got combinations in there from all the different teams. So we've got Swift's combinations, we've got Fever combinations with Verity Charles and Jess Anstis. You've got the Giants combinations with Amy Parmenter and Jamie Lee Price. So you've got kind of little combos that sit within that group. So already established work that they know could come in and be a ready make or a ready fit for what they're looking for. But you've also got great depth and versatility with size, height, game styles, and how the girls approach the game, and also positional versatility. So players like Paige Hadley, who can play across all three positions, and then the rest of the girls can at least play two to an extreme strength. So I think from that perspective for Kelson and Rav, that is a little bit of a weakness from their part, is the fact that they realistically only play one position predominantly, with Kelsey playing wing attack and Rav playing centre. But we know that both of them play those positions extremely, extremely well. So again, it will just be selectors' preference of things that they're looking for in game style, and how that will adapt to what's going forward for the Diamonds in the future. I was extremely happy that Amy Parmenter got selected in the squad particularly. I just think she's had a really standout season, a second standout season after what she produced with the Giants last year. So I think she's extremely exciting with what she's putting out. She's so dynamic. She's quick. She has the ability to play this beautiful one-on-one marking game, but she also reads the play and comes off and sort of takes these amazing intercepts. So for my mind, she's one to watch, because I think she could be this exciting breakout player that could feature in the 12.
Definitely. And she just keeps seeming to provide those moments that just save a team, you know, getting an interception at such a crucial time where they need it most.
Yeah, she does. And at her age, that's such a really, like, such a beauty and a gift to have, is to be able to perform so nicely under pressure. And it's not just the composure and the capacity to take the great intercepts, but it's her attacking play after that. We very rarely see her make big mistakes on court, and she's a really key attacker for the Giants to take the ball, you know, transition the ball out of those defensive moments. So, yeah, she's a player that's really mature for the amount of time that she's had playing at that level.
And okay, obviously moving to the defensive end now, that's what we've got left. So we've got Sunday Ariang, Courtney Bruce, Kim Jenner, Sarah Clough, Maddie Turner and Joe Weston. So what do you make of those athletes that are named there?
Well, you've got a mixture, I suppose, of experienced heads that have been there for a while. So obviously Courtney Bruce and Joe Weston, and even now Sarah Clough, who's been in the team for a few years. So you've got the depth and the experience lays there. And then potentially what you'd frame as, I suppose, that next generation of moving forward with Kim Jenner and Sunday Ariane, who she's still, like, is in that rookie kind of frame and just has had a phenomenal year. And then Maddie Turner as well has been playing incredibly consistently with the Swifts and has a beautiful combination with Sarah Clough. So I suppose, again, we're seeing already established and formed pairs and combinations, that we've got the Swifts defensive duo that have come into the mix, and the West Coast Fever defensive duo that have come into the mix, and then having both Joe and Kimmy J kind of round out the defensive end. It's you've got some versatility. You've got players who can play a marking game. Joe Weston obviously plays a marking game really beautifully at the front, as does Maddie Turner. Kimmy J has the ability to play off the body and read space. We've got both Sarah and Courtney in the circle who can play on those tall goalers, and Sunday, who's just, yeah, extremely athletic and reads play beautifully, similar to Kimmy J, and has the ability to come off and take flying intercepts. So I think there's lots of excitement around the defensive end. I mean, I'm a defender, so I'm extremely biased, but I know that their game style is based on winning ball and attacking ball out the front. So you saw that was what they tried to do in that Constellation Cup series that we saw at the start of the year. And so I think that in terms of the defensive sort of combinations and players that they're looking at, that's the styles that they all play.
So we've obviously seen the Silver Fern squad already announced as well for the Constellation Cups specifically. So what do you think the focus will be in the Diamonds training camp to try and get them over the line against that lineup that we sort of know about now?
Yeah, I think that a lot of the focus will probably not be so much on the Silver Ferns. I mean, it will be to a certain extent, but I think it will more be on continuing to solidify the game model and the plan and style of what Stacey is trying to get this team to play. She's really had limited time with the group thus far. They had a small camp at the tail end of 2020, and then they went into the Constellation Cup series, which was obviously under pretty unique circumstances with the quarantine leading into that and limited training sessions. So I think this Constellation Cup series and the preparation leading into that will just be an opportunity for them to continue to solidify team culture, what they're trying to do from a leadership perspective, and their game models and game styles, and just an opportunity for them to continue to look at the development of different combinations and different unit areas and how they play the game, because we don't realistically know what the next 12 to 24 months is going to look like from an international perspective with netball moving forward. So rather than, you know, thinking about everybody else, I think this is a really beautiful time for the Diamonds to just, yeah, look back at themselves and look at where they're going to and what they want to be and what they want to look like within the next sort of 3 years as we head to Comm Games and World Champs.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I mean, Commonwealth Games are less than a year off now. So do you think that looking at the Constellation Cup in particular, that Stacey will focus on, you know, getting those combinations ironed out, or will it be a case of maybe exposing some uncapped players to put them under a bit of pressure and see how they perform?
Yeah, I'd like to probably see a combination of both. I'm sure that they'll choose an extended team, I suppose, so a team with additional players that they could choose a rotating selection from as the Constellation Cup series progresses, because I think what that then allows her to do is have the flexibility of introducing new players, but also then solidifying combinations as the Constellation Cup progresses, because there are the four games to be played within that series, so it does allow them the ability to do that. And I don't think with any player, you don't know what they're capable of at an international level until they're provided with the opportunity to play. So I would personally like to see her to play some of the newer girls, especially like the talents, things like Amy Pumenter and Sunday Ariang. It'd just be so exciting to see what they had the capacity to do. But it's so hard to say externally, and I've been in that Diamonds environment before, because nobody, you know, in the outside netball world has any idea of what's happening within a training environment or within a preparation zone as they're going into a competition. You don't know how people are training, how they're combining together within that environment. What are the external influences and impacts that happen on them? What's the vision and the game style and the game plan that the coach is putting out? So I think that all we can do is hope and trust in the decisions that are made by Stacey, that she's going to be putting the best team forward for the Diamonds in terms of not just securing this Constellation Cup, but also setting us up in an appropriate manner to win gold at Comm Games and then forward again to win gold at the World Cup.
Looking at netball from a broader perspective, we recently saw Netball Australia and World Netball's commitment to push netball into the Brisbane 2032 Olympic Games. So Do you support this? Do you think it will benefit the sport? What's your opinion on it?
Oh, Sasha, who wouldn't support that?
I have heard people who don't, surprisingly. So
yeah, look, I think when we saw Tokyo Olympics and you see some of the showcase sports that are included in there that are so exciting and they give you something different to watch and something varied to the traditional Olympics of sports that we see year in, year out, I say why not for netball? Like, I just think we have such a unique sport to showcase to the whole entire world. And obviously it's predominantly played by Commonwealth nations. So we're not going to get the likes of the big powerhouse countries like China, Russia, the US necessarily being able to submit teams. But I think that what it just allows is a bit of versatility and variety. And absolutely incredible female athletes to showcase their skill set and their talent on a world stage. And yeah, why wouldn't you get behind it? It's super exciting, and it's just another progression and another step forward for the sport if we were able to do it.
Oh, I agree. I think it would get the sport so much coverage. And you know, like for example in England, when the Roses won the Commonwealth Games, so many people turned to watch netball for the first time maybe ever. So
exactly, yeah. And that's what it is about. It's about, I think, I don't know how things were in the UK after the Tokyo Olympics, but here in Australia, I mean, everything's tough worldwide at the moment with COVID, but what the Olympics did, because I think you forgot about it because we hadn't had it for 5 years, but it just provides this amazing opportunity for everybody, whether you love sport or not. You can sit down in front of the television and just be inspired. It might be one event, one final that you watch, or one story that you hear, and for 30 seconds you might sit and watch this final, or for however long it will go for, whatever event it is, and you'll get goosebumps and you'll walk away with a smile on your face and this ability to feel inspired to go and do things. And so for some people, if it's that they sit down and watch netball and they say, oh, this is actually really amazing, I might give that a go, I've always been trying to, or I loved netball when I was a child and I went away from it, and maybe this is my chance to come back. Really, the Olympics just serves as a platform to inspire and reinvigorate people to go back out and focus on, yeah, physical health and well-being, and the understanding and the acknowledgement piece of how that plays a greater role in all of our lives generally with our health and well-being. And I think when we are in the current situation that we're in at the moment with COVID and the detrimental impacts that that's having to people's mental health, sport and physical exercise is the one thing that we know we can do to help us feel good about ourselves. And so, yeah, if netball featuring in the Olympics in 11 years' time can get more people moving and get more people engaged in our sport at a community level in all of the respective nations across the world where it's played, then I am all for it.
I am too, just to clarify. I would love it if that happened. But I have spoken to some people who are not necessarily so supportive. They think, you know, netball's already got the World Cup, the Commonwealth Games. They think team sports shouldn't necessarily be in there. So, you know, yeah. Maybe they're a minority. I'd like to think they probably are.
Oh, yeah, but then it's really funny because I saw on the Wide World of Sport, one of the major news outlets in Australia, on their Instagram page, they asked the question, and it was probably a 50-50 split, but I feel like you're probably going to get that with a majority of the showcase sports. Like for when they said, you know, surfing for Tokyo 2021 or 2020, I'm sure everybody, you know, it would have been a 50-50 split of how ridiculous, why would you include surfing in an Olympics from half the people, and then the rest I'm like, yeah, amazing, and this is, you know, they're awesome athletes who are so skillful and, you know, yada, yada, yada. So you're never going to please everybody. And I think that's the beauty and the luxury of hosting an Olympics and having the opportunity to put sports forward, because it is, you know, providing that versatility and that newness and keeping it a bit fresh, which is, yeah, exciting.
Yeah, I agree. I was skeptical about skateboarding and the speed climbing, but adored watching it, and
I know.
Take it back entirely. Thought it was great.
Yeah. And you know what? Probably what I would not like to see is if they were to put an abbreviated, abridged version of netball in. So if they were to do a fast five, like, you know, how they had the 3-on-3 basketball included in the most recent Olympics, I wouldn't like to see that. I would only want netball to be included if it was in its pure traditional form. That would be my preference.
Yeah, I agree. And You know, we've obviously got some very important finals coming up with Suncorp Super Netball. So we've got three teams left in the running. Who are you tipping to take the title this season?
Oh, I mean, it's going to be so hotly contested. I'm really excited to see the preliminary final this weekend against the Giants and the Fever. Obviously, the Giants came off that heartbreakingly close loss to the Swifts in the major semi-final last weekend. And the Swifts played that game really, really nicely. And I would have expected, even in those clinch moments at the end, I just felt like they had it in control. This weekend, I really don't know. I think it's whether the Giants can come back after the loss, whether or not they'll be able to rebound back and get themselves all centered and ready to go. But I mean, between the two of them, it's so tight. I think that if the Fever do make it through to the final, that they will be strong enough to take it. I think that the Swifts have played really beautifully against the Fever this year, and they've beaten them. They've had those two really, really close games. So I think the Fever have the capacity to win, but I just have a feeling that the Giants might get up over them this weekend. And if the Giants do get up over them this weekend, then I would say it's a final going to extra time next weekend. Oh. And yeah, I'd pick that. Either way, actually, whoever's in the final next weekend, I feel like it'll go to extra time, just because I feel like the teams this year have been, you know, you can separate some of them on a knife edge. So I just hope that it's a hotly contested game. But I'm going to put it out there and probably say that I'll stick with the Swifts, because I think they have the experience, and the way I see them operate behind the scenes and their mindset and their team culture. And I just feel like they have the ability to get the job done. So we'll go with the Swifties.
Okay. Well, as someone who's living in New South Wales and also supporting
I know.
Well, Helen and Nat, love that.
That's the other thing. They have something to play for, similarly to what the Vixens did last year. The Vixens had to play for something, and the Swifts and the Giants, to give perspective to the UK listeners, they have been through so much this year in terms of the length of time that they have been away from home, and they just get up and fly into state at the click of fingers. Like, literally, we are given, you know, sometimes 4 hours notice to just pack your bags, you're getting on a flight, you're going to wherever, and we don't know how long we'll be there for. So the resilience that those two teams have shown, and particularly the Swifts, who have just, you haven't heard a peep out of them in terms of how they've been coping and managing. They're just incredibly strong. And also what happened with Bryony, being forced to isolate and quarantine away from the team for that period of time. And yeah, I just feel like they've got the gumption to do it, and it'll just be interesting to see how it all plays out.
Couldn't agree more. I'm so excited. Bring it on.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, I hope you missed my faux pas there where I mentioned Maddie Brown instead of Kelsey Brown. My goodness. Anyway, thank you so much to Claire for speaking to us today. What a fantastic insight she's given us. Seriously, I really, really enjoyed listening to what she had to say. I hope you enjoyed this episode as well. If you did, make sure you share it with a friend who might be interested, or maybe introduce someone new to the game. Thanks so much for listening, and take care.
The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.